second monthly meeting for the Board of Port Townsend Commission to order.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If the flag looks a little shorter than it used to, it's because it's a little bit shorter than it used to be. The ceilings are so low, we have to cut off.
Is there any additions to the agenda that I move that we approve the agenda as written?
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
And the consent agenda, meeting minutes and the public workshop minutes?
I have an addendum to the meeting minutes. If we look on the meeting minutes at the very back in the commissioner comments, Attorney Lake added that this is day one of the Kai Tai trial. Well, it would have been day one of the Kai Tai trial. So for future people to read that, they should understand that we didn't really go to trial.
Good catch.
Didn't she call it, wasn't it called a trial?
Yeah, but it would have been.
Would have been.
We never went to trial because we reached an agreement.
Thanks, Steve.
Good catch.
Then I move that we approve the consent agenda as amended.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public comments not related to the agenda. Les, Maggie?
Got nothing.
You're the public.
Yeah, the first public ever.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking. One of these days, I'm sure.
If it's really some important controversial topic, we might not have public comments.
Which,
better get that now.
That's how that works.
Did you read Schmelich's thing in the BPA newsletter today?
Yeah.
About where you don't have to have public comment by state law?
Oh, not exactly.
And in fact, if it's a regular scheduled meeting, you don't have to have an agenda.
Not exactly a wise practice.
I wasn't commenting on the wise factor.
Then on to old business. Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife lease.
There is a copy that's electronic. Everybody should have had it. As you know, for the last several months, we've been working with Fish and Wildlife. Jim has made, I don't know, probably four or five dozen phone calls and meetings with different folks. We finally got the letter of intent from them, and I signed that. They signed it, and now we have the lease. But before I signed the actual lease, obviously, as all leases, the commission needs to approve it. 5 years with a 5-year option. And it's, what was it, $7,708.80 per month rent, which is top dollar for where our current admin building is.
Well, it's a good building.
And the last thing is, unless you've heard different, any furniture that we wish not to relocate, they're willing to take it over.
And purchase it
from us. So
they don't have any furniture, and they'd love to purchase some of our furniture.
Actually, they asked if they could purchase all of it.
Yeah.
And you wanted to take your desk, and that's about it.
Well, it's. I'm thinking now we might want to let them buy the conference tables. You know, they're still good tables, but you know we've moved them so much. Having our commission meetings, they're getting a little bit weak, and you know they weren't the highest quality to start with, and there's a lot of other mismatched desks and chairs that we've cobbled together over the years. If we get a decent price for them, I think I'd be willing to let them have quite a bit of it. In my case, my desk and stuff, I'd like to relocate, but since I personally carried that thing in there and assembled it.
Well, Sue's desk will be different because she'll be built in her new office. She'll have built in. Gene's got a very old desk, and we could probably sell that one and get Gene a proper desk. I'll take my desk.
Right, you've got your own desk, so you'd want to take that. So.
But there's some stuff that we...
Obviously, all our file cabinets would take with us.
So do you need a formal motion from the commissioners to approve the lease as written?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm trying to find my lease. I made some notes on it, and I can't get there here.
Here's it.
Well, my notes are in here.
Oh.
So how do I get back to the index thing of iAnnotate?
Just go to the library.
Okay, how do I do that?
Push on the top of the screen there.
That's what I've been trying to do, and it hasn't gone.
Go down a little bit.
There?
Let me see your machine. There you have it.
No. Is this my finger that I had it up for? Okay. There we go. Okay, I had on energy, it has here, go away. The lessor or authorized representative in accordance with RCW so-and-so has conducted a walkthrough survey of the lease premises with a representative of the director of the Department of Enterprise Services. Lessor will undertake technical assistance studies and or subsequent acquisition and installation of energy conservation measures as identified as cost effective by the survey. So does that mean that if a person like Brian Goldstein went through, who was hired by the government office, and says that putting solar panels up would save this office money, that we'd be obligated to install them?
We've already had the audit done by their architect. Yep. Their person has come from Olympia, done the full walkthrough, and has signed off on it. So they will sign off on this. They're not going to...
So in other words, that walkthrough's already been done.
Yep.
It's already been completed.
And when we redid the building, we incorporated within what the Historic Preservation Committee would allow us to do as many energy efficient, you know, all new insulation, you know, the new water heating system,
mm-hmm.
You know, fluorescent lights, etc.
Okay, so that's and so the fact that that says has conducted means that they're not going to be able to back and conduct anymore. Okay. The next thing was on the hazardous substances. The next section on 18 says lesser warrants is or knowledge. No hazardous substance, toxic waste, or other toxic substance has been produced, disposed of, or has been kept on the premises hereby leased. And well, we know about it. I can't smell it myself, and so I don't know about the creosote smell.
Yeah,
I've been told by everyone that it's really bad in those places. And so does this have any, because it's right in here, it says that it's never been kept on the premises, and
but it's not toxic.
We've had two studies done, air quality studies, which I have, and I've shown them. It is not a hazard to health.
So in other words, then,
the stink, as
apparent to everyone, by not being toxic, and we have affidavits to say this is not toxic, right, would then make this clause not applicable to the, okay.
Again, we called, when we got this, Larry and I were a little concerned with some of these things, too. We called and talked to the Department of Enterprise, and they admitted this is your basic Attorney General boilerplate lease. You know, every lease has it, so, but they're good questions.
Okay, and then one more, and that's the drainage on maintenance and repair.
It talks, section.
Section 6, it talks about, in the last sentence, wheel bumpers, drainage, landscaping, and continuous satisfaction of all government requirements. Well, I'm not sure if they were actually over there on a high tide, rainy day to see the drainage issue that occurs there at that corner. Are they aware of that?
I'm not sure they're aware of that. I don't know if they were there either, but that's really not their property they're leasing. That's access. That's a road.
But it affects their parking, because if people go park there and they have to go through the lake.
Well, and that's an issue that we have for them. Their parking is in the back 40. They have 15 spots in the back 40. They're not supposed to be parking.
There's no designated parking.
That's community parking. Yeah. And it's going to be a battle we're going to have. I know Customs and Fish and Wildlife and WSU.
Now, Customs has two designated spaces along the water, which was part of that agreement. But Fish and Wildlife, their designated parking is in the back 40.
We've got to keep that open for the restaurants and other tenants. Mm-hmm. We just can't. I don't want 20 Fish and Wildlife cars parked on the waterfront.
And even when it is high tide and heavy rains and the storm drain backs up, it doesn't prevent you from going through there. You know, nobody's access is being denied. It does not affect the drainage, as Jim said, of the rental property that they're running. course, it's built up 3 feet anyway. Still.
The terms would be limited to what's defined as the premises, and so that's outside that.
It's okay,
good.
And that's my question.
They don't rent any of the land outside, just the inside building part. You know, they don't rent the front lawn and all that.
But we have agreed to continue doing the gardening, and Laura's going to continue the gardens because customs wants that too, so that would be on us. It's the same customs.
But she does all the grass cutting down there anyway, and she has a little tractor that she, lawnmower that she whips around.
But anyway, when I was reading that thing about the drainage, I thought to myself, you know, if they didn't make it down there on a high tide, rainy day, they may not know about it. And I think that it would be at least we should tell them. You know, this is one of the quirks that we have.
The good news is the director is Rich Childress, who's a local guy. And
he
knows Point Hudson as well as I do.
And he's the primary mover getting this thing done.
So they're pretty aware, at least the director is, of this, what he's getting.
The bigger issue, and Jim realized it today when we were talking about this, is them moving in on 1 September. Mm-hmm. Probably the worst week of the year to be moving anything into Point Hudson.
Oh, when is that?
It's the 7th and 8th.
Still
week
be.
Before we vote. Yes.
Yeah. So they'll have two surprises.
They will.
Well, then I move that we approve the lease for Fish and Wildlife at Point Hudson.
Yes, sir.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that commits us to building a new building or building something somewhere.
Well, that's on the agenda, too.
Well, speaking about a new building, how about a new administration building update, item B, under old business?
We have a bid, the ad was in the newspaper. We held a conference with mandatory contractors last
Thursday.
And I think I sent an email out. We had 9 contractors, these are the primes, not subs, show up to it, which kind of surprised us. We were thinking probably 2, maybe 3 at the outside, but we got 9. And Jim's been dealing with several of them that have been calling with more questions. And we've actually gotten some calls from some subs as well that want to do the insulation or whatever, sheetrock, that sort of stuff. That'll be up to the prime to work with them. The bid opening, all bids are due at 1 p.m. On March 7th. That's next Thursday, a week from tomorrow. And we'll have the bid opening immediately thereafter. And I'll conduct that down at Point Hudson. So things are moving on that. The one thing you want to brief on Ken Clough and the water line?
Well, we designed the building, and Larry Ozzie brought this to our attention, that the city main water line goes right behind the building. So
right down here?
Right along Jefferson between Skookum and the gas station.
It actually is on our property. It's not on the city easement. And, there's part of me that says we should fight this and make the city move it, but we don't have the time to do that. That could be a long process. So I think what we've opted to do, we met with Richard Berg, and I met with Ken Clough and Public Works people. We're going to move the building 10 feet closer to the ramp. It's going to cut out perpendicular parking. We'll have to do parallel parking there in front of the building. But it'll do a couple of things. It'll get us 10 feet from the water line, and it'll also get us 27 feet from that power transformer. That power transformer, which is a high voltage transformer, is going to be about 10 feet from
my
head. And I like the idea of actually moving the building away
from the parking. Well, the parking, we'll have more parking in the back because of it. We can park on top of the water, maybe we just can't build the structure. So
I think it makes sense for us to move.
Now, does that still keep us out of the 200 foot?
Yes. Okay.
It comes farther this way or?
Towards the water.
Towards the water. Is there a back door to the building?
Yeah, side door.
Two side doors. So it'll be fine.
Both with stairs? Both to the upstairs?
No, there's one downstairs? Downstairs down at your corner. That's ground level.
Far.
At your end for the new building. Where your lease property is.
Well, we all know that city water mains aren't very reliable around here.
Well, that's what Ken said. He says it's an old concrete line, and if it blows, it's, you're going to see a 6-foot plume of water coming out.
And that would not be good under a foundation. it's moving along. And we'll see what we get for bids. We wrote a really tight spec on this thing, and I think a lot of the those nine, I wouldn't be surprised if half of them decide not to submit.
When you say tight spec, what do you mean?
Well, we told them what three companies we wanted the metal to come from. A lot of them have special deals with certain metal building fabricating firms where they get kickbacks and that sort of thing. And these are the three that, you know, we've approved. And if you want to do it, you're going to use one of those three. But also, you got to be bonded. You know, a lot of the, especially the smaller companies aren't bonded. And 1 September is a drop dead date. Every day over that's $1,000 out of your pocket back to us. And a lot of people don't want to take that risk, I would think. But we've got bidders, one contractor out of Spanaway, down by Tacoma.
What's the name? Is that the name, their name?
No, it's
Lincoln
Construction.
Lincoln.
Okay.
What was the other one? Maybe it was Bremerton,
and
those other.
Bellingham.
Yeah, Bellingham.
We only have one local. Mark Grant's the only local.
No, we had a Nordland.
Oh, Nordland, right.
So it'll be interesting.
Construction, the guy that did all those condominiums on Water Street, that guy?
They have to prove to us that they've done pre-engineered metal office buildings. So they have to show at least three examples of buildings they built like this. So
yeah, we don't want somebody who's just looking for work, who's never built one, to come in with a low bid, and then we're sitting here, and this guy's, you know.
Do we have the capability to manage this project without hiring a consultant?
Well, Richard Berg is our architect, and he will be our architectural project, because he has to sign off. But Richard and I will do it.
Yeah, it's all in-house. It's a pretty straightforward project, and at the end of the day, I think we're all going to be surprised that it's not a very big building. You know, it's fairly, we're going low-key, low expense, you know, concrete floors.
Carolyn's house is twice the size of mine.
My house is bigger than this.
It's only 3,800 square feet, I mean, it's...
That's about it right now. More to
with
follow.
With this, though, I'm still looking at financing. I have a local bank working with us. They can get us 3.85% on a 10-year loan backed by an LTGO bond certificate. The payment on that would be $69.50 a month, so it's certainly less than what we're bringing in. I sent those numbers off to...
Remember, we're getting 77 from Fish and Wildlife plus another 32 from Customs. So
I think on your original guesstimate, the interest rate, you guessed at 3.5.
Guys, that's not three different copies.
Yeah, that's all. Those are all.
That's all together.
Oh, that's all together.
Yeah. Sorry.
Way to go, Dave.
But I do have somebody else today that told me those numbers seemed a little bit high, and do some research and see and get back to us. So
there was some mention of exploring loans from the state.
The timing doesn't really work. We can't submit the project until the end of May, and they would notify us in, I think it was July, as to whether or not we would
get the money. We need to be well into construction.
I think we will need some for that, so.
And their rates really weren't much better than what?
No, the last rates they had posted was 3.5%, and First Federal came in at 3.85 on a 10-year.
How about permits for demo on the?
We have the demo permit.
You got the demo permit?
So we don't have a construction permit yet. We're hoping by April. We can go in and demo. Bob has till the 18th to get out. So he knows that. And on the 19th, I'm hoping to have an excavator there taking the building.
Any further questions on the new administration
bill? Page 1 of 1.
I know, they're all different.
They're all, each one's
different, page 1.
So it's all been specified by Richard Berg, the architect. What do we have as far as heating and so far? I mean, we really
refined. Radiant floor.
Radiant floor heat powered by
electric boiler. We're going to do three-phase electricity. The electric boiler, which everybody agrees is the cheapest way to go.
It is, yeah.
So
it's going to be in the upper floor, too. You're going to have two.
Yeah.
Radiant floor. We have triple glazed windows on the front side for sun with blinds that will come down to stop the sun, but they're also the coated windows.
E-coating.
Right. So it's going to be pretty eco building. Where we've got an option where the entire panel up front of the roof, the option for solar panels. We think we can generate enough energy with solar panels.
7,000. That'll be a separate section, separate building.
So you'll make the decision if solar panels or not, and we'll have a number of what that would cost to do that. And how much energy it would generate.
Great.
So it's going to be about as energy efficient as you can build this sort of building. And then if we do some outside rain garden.
And the widow's walk isn't going to take too much away from it.
It's not going to take much at all. It's not going to take up much space at all. That's not really good.
Any further questions on the new building? Then we'll move on to item C, old business commercial basin project update.
Jim, you got this one?
So tomorrow we have a walkthrough with the contractors. I've already had six contractors, all the big guys. I mean, business must be slow because I have American, I have Matson.
Orion, the people that did it up here.
Yeah, all the big guys. So tomorrow's a mandatory meeting. Tyke will be here. Tyke's going to work on this project with us. We're going to do a full walkthrough, show them exactly what it is. Bid opening is on the 27th, I think? 27th. 27th of March. That will give them time to order all their lumber. All that lumber's pre-drilled, you know, for whalers and stuff. So that takes a few months to get. And they can start work. We have a permit already in place. July 16th, the fish window opens to start.
And the total cost for this project is?
We're estimating at $500,000.
Remember, this includes taking out the Quincy Dock transfer span
right.
as well.
And that $500,000 includes Quincy Dock, too.
That's we'll tight, see how it that's comes what in. Tyke's estimate is on this whole thing. And we think we're going to get close.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But it's really going to take one of these bigger companies because they'll need the big barge and crane to do all that.
To get Quincy Dock. How much did we figure that thing weighed? 20 tons.
That's just for the transfer span.
Yeah. Yeah, there's two big steel I-beams under that thing.
So it'll be all new whalers, all new cleats, all new brackets to hang the utilities, leveling within an inch of 15 inches of freeboard, and we're making provisions for up to 100 square feet of patching, concrete patch. Because we feel some of those ends are going to chip off when we open the whalers up.
Mm-hmm.
All of the triangles we're going to replace with eco-friendly grading, so they'll be... for light to go through the grading. We're going to get rid of all those heavy triangles, do the new style. It's going to be a very nice commercial piece.
What are we going to do with the transfer span?
Have them destroy it.
Pardon?
Have them dispose of it.
It's worth quite a bit of scrap.
Yeah, just what I was thinking. It's 20 tons of scrap steel.
Well, it's not all steel. You know, the decking's all wood and stuff, but all the I-beams certainly are pretty rusted steel, but... we didn't put in there that we want to salvage it, so if that's a...
We'll recoup that in the savings on the bid.
If that's a thing the commission wants, though, please let us know. Let them know tomorrow. We want them to put the transfer span in the yard or something.
Well, no, that'd be a... You'd have to cut it up into pieces and take it down to Tacoma.
That thing's caused us so much grief over the years.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd rather just... make it disappear.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they do figure out scrap value.
Oh, yeah.
Because they got to get rid of it somewhere, too.
Right.
So that's all we know. We'll know more tomorrow.
Contractors and everything.
On to new business. Puget Sound no discharge zone.
An interesting topic. This came up at the last Washington Boating Alliance meeting that I attended about a week before last. The boating community is rallying around this. The Department of Ecology is proposing that all of Puget Sound be a no-discharge zone for waste. Currently, the large ocean-going liners, you know, the cruise liners, the freighters, have to wait till they get well out of the ocean. But recreational vessels have been exempt. Well, this would cover all vessels. So your 30-foot sailboat would be subject to this as well. And so there's a meeting set up for Monday. It's over in Bellevue. DOE apparently has offices in Bellevue, which might explain another reason why Olympia is out of money. Why would you be in Bellevue?
Yeah. Is this an editorial comment thing?
Yes, it is. As a taxpayer. But we're going to meet with them. There's about eight of us that are going. There's also a couple of people that are from the industry that builds the various MSD systems on vessels. Can talk about it. I think what's going to happen is a lot of questions are going to be asked of DOE, such as what is the science? You know, what percentage of the pollution is caused by recreational boating? Things like that. And I have a feeling they'll probably take all the questions and say, we'll get back to you. And we'll see where it goes. I did ask the commission their thoughts just so I, you know, kind of had a feel for where we were all coming from. And I have different opinions from the commission. So Dave and I talked about it yesterday.
Day before.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the boating community, everybody wants to be good stewards of the environment. I think most people come into marinas and use the pump out stations that, in our case, they're all brand new in all of our marinas, including down in Fulsing. But as an industry, recreational boating, I think, is feeling picked upon. That's the point you brought up, Lee, kind of like the boatyard and the copper issue.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at, you know, how much copper goes into Puget Sound, boatyards are just a very minute portion of that. You know, Seattle puts more in one day into the sound than all the boatyards do in a year.
Yeah, traffic. Right.
Because of the traffic and the copper and the brake pads. And kind of the same thing with human waste. You know, recreational boating, you know, what percentage is that of the problem, you know, compared to, you know, Victoria dumping all of their sludge.
This is a gray water issue, too, not just...
Well, and that's one of the questions. I did some research the last couple of days. Several states on the East Coast, Maine, Massachusetts, Maryland, here's some things. There's some like Massachusetts. Gray water from bath and kitchen sinks on board are exempt. It's only, you know, the...
It's the fecal chloroform in that that we're worried about.
So I'm not clear now from DOE whether they are including gray water along with the black or not. So those are some of the things...
They never have before.
Well, some of them, Maine does.
Includes gray water?
Yeah. So what Maine did, they didn't do a coast-wide no discharge zone. They did selected areas. And I think what they keyed on were sensitive river entrances, you know, where salmon you know, gather and that sort of thing. Whereas further up and around some of the islands, you know, there's no regulations. So I don't know how much you want to discuss about it. You know, Steve, you're kind of, you think we're already there, that, you know.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's not that big of a thing. I know, Leaf, you're kind of...
they need to combine it with some other efforts to stem some other sources. They're just taking the low-hanging fruit off the who they can pick on here.
That's right.
You know, 50% of pet owners walk their pets in public spaces, and 40% of them don't pick up after their pets. You know, now there's a low-hanging fruit, you know.
And every time the high tide comes in, out goes
uh-huh.
you're exactly right that this isn't really the biggest problem. But my argument about that is that if you, well, I'll just use an analogy of automotive diagnosis. If you have a problem, you don't know where it's coming from. How do you start diagnosing the problem? You do the easy stuff first, you know, because you're going to reach this terminal, you can check it, and oh, it's not that. Then you get farther and farther and farther and farther in until you finally find out what the problem is. Well, if you got this problem now with fluted sound, what do? You get the stuff that you can deal with first, and they've been the comprehensive, whatever it is, plans where all the farmers have had to fence off their rivers that run through their fields. Boy, that just created a lot of anguish for those guys. And it was a big deal. And that was the first step to get people coliforms out of the bays. And of course, they've already done that. That was a big, big thing. Well, then that was the big one. Now we've got some more easy ones. And as soon as we get winnowing them down to where, okay, the boaters, we're already pretty much doing it. Hey, we all have MSDs on our boats. And if you go down that part of the sound, you're hardly any place where there's 3 miles, you know, from shore. And so it's already pretty much being done. But if we just make it a lot, then they can go and say, okay, now let's go attack the dog owners that aren't picking up their poop, or the guys that are fertilizing it and letting all the fertilizer run into the sound. Because these other things will have been addressed, like the big start that they made with the cattle fields and the fencing of those buffer riparian zones. So, I mean, I don't like nanny rules either, but I think that this is a good step to start that process of narrowing down to get the dog and the fertilizer.
Well, the process for the pleasure boaters has pretty much already been dealt with.
Right. We're there already. We got the pump outs. We got all that.
So why do we need another law?
Well, we're just basically codifying what we've already done. So we're saying...
I mean, I think I got a no discharge insignia in my boat. You know?
Right.
So it's already...
we're there. So, I mean, I can't see that this is should cause any heartburn because it's already pretty much in place. We don't have to do anything different. We're just reinforcing what we're already doing. And then the people that are making the, trying to get the Puget Sound cleaned up and say, well, we got the farmers on board with the, whatever that plan was.
Yeah.
We got the boaters on board. Now let's work on the septic tanks, or let's work on that, because
the biggest polluter is the stormwater runoff from the highways.
Right.
It has nothing to do with farmers or fishermen or boats.
Well, farmers were a big one. All the people call from come out of all the agricultural lands that streams. That was huge. And that has been pretty much addressed to the consternation of Mr. Short and a lot of guys like that.
Put a lot of farmers out of business.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Yeah, all their fertile property is the two sides of the stream that runs down the valley.
And so this is, compared to that, pretty much painless because we're all, like I said, we're almost already there.
Well, let me see what happens on Monday. I was thinking, though, I don't know if you guys would have any opinion as an association or not on this.
Well, we might, just sitting here, though, speaking from the top of my head.
I think there's a copy of the executive summary of what DOE is proposing. You get more on their website.
I don't think most recreational boaters have a gray water tank, so that is included then. It would be good to have a time frame for that to happen, you know, before it becomes law, so that they can gear up for it, you know, and find spaces in their boat and get people to install it and so on. I have it in my boat. I just put it in automatically when I was doing it. I had plenty of space. I got a, you know, fish boat, so I could roam. But I think most people don't.
Well, somebody actually down at the Washington Public Ports Association, I was talking to them the other day, and they said, you know, what happens to a boater whose holding tank is at capacity? They put into a marina, and the pump out is broke. And they're still cruising up to the San Juans. Now what do they do?
They have to hold it.
And how many of us are going to do that?
Well, they probably won't until they cross the strait, you know, which is a lot of flow there. That would be the right thing to do, because
if you hold it until you get to
somewhere else, there isn't going to be pump out.
Yeah.
There isn't pump out places everywhere.
I know. For
these smaller range of these small.
Well, let me see what they say on Monday.
How often? Where are the pump outs? Is it adequate? Yeah.
And they have websites that you can go on with all the active pump out stations around the town. You know, still, you got to be able to access that and know where they are.
Solar, when you said the Small Boat Association was rallying toward this cause, were they rallying towards supporting this amendment or?
No, against.
Against?
Against.
And again, I think a good number of them, and I'll have a better sense on Monday, it's what Leif brought up. It's the, yeah, you're picking on us again. We're not the problem. You know, why you, you know, doing that. So that's really about it. But if you have any other suggestions.
Well, I'm just concerned, like sometimes in the past, there'll be a mandate to do something, but it's not possible to get there.
Right.
Because you actually don't have the pump outs close enough together, or the distance between things isn't, you know,
right,
feasible, or different things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as somebody who takes a look at that.
It's still in the assessment phase.
And there'll be a public comment.
If you go to their website, it shows you the process that they're going through. But what they're doing is they're being pretty heavy-handed about it and just trying to ramrod this thing through. You know, and it's just another law. It's just more bureaucracy, you know, which isn't free. And it'll cost the pleasure boat industry money. So, you know, it would be good to go to their website. They do have a pretty good explanation of what's going on and have a look at it. The next item in new business is approval of warrants.
I have an electronic debit in the amount of $3,029.52 for combined excise tax and warrants number 50,559. Through 50,585 in the amount of $40,905.94 for payroll, and warrants 50,586 through 50,589 in the amount of $18,502.46 for payroll benefits, and 50,590 through 50,631 in the amount of $58,937.93 for accounts payable. I move that the warrants be approved as read.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Staff comments.
Anything, Carolyn? Amy? Susan? James?
I've got quite a bit. Not very much. Tomorrow I'm meeting with Dave Timmons at the city. About some things. One of the things I'm going to bring up, though, is the Katai process. You know, it's time to close the chapter on this.
I talked to Dave King tonight about that.
Did you?
And he said April.
April now?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the title search is, you know, our part is easy. We're just giving them all of our property at the Katai. If they're still wrestling with Park Service and the county and other properties, you know, sign our agreement, we'll go do our thing, and they can go finish doing whatever they're going to do. I'll see what Timmons has to say.
See what Timmons has to say, yeah.
Late today, I got a call from State Parks down in Olympia. When I called back, they weren't there, so I'll try again tomorrow. But the voicemail that I got was they'd like to discuss my letter that I sent them. So finally, it got to somebody's desk on
our property in Fort Worden.
Right.
Great.
And he didn't really, at least in his voicemail, he said the tidelands. You know, I'm not sure he realized it's more than tidelands, the actual beach itself. So I'll make that call tomorrow. Just a reminder, on March 7th at 6:30, a Quilt Scene School. Quilt Scene Conversations is holding a conversation on the Metropolitan Parks District. I think you showed some interest in going to that.
Yeah, I'll be going to that.
I might go down to that too. And then tomorrow we got the Peninsula Development District and RC&D. We're in John Wayne Marina.
Did you get a copy of that letter that the commissioners from Collin County are sending to the state?
Yes.
Regarding the
marine tourism?
No, not marine tourism, but regarding green energy.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Oh, I'll email that to you in the morning.
Okay.
No, me too. Oh. Green energy.
Green energy, yeah, there's a state mandate that says by such and such date you have to buy so much of your energy from green production.
Mm-hmm. I just found out tonight that that date is 2018, that transit has to have 100% of their fuel that powers their buses be renewable. I just heard that tonight.
100%. There's no way our transit can afford that.
No.
Yeah, our transit can really afford to run what they
so
really want.
So is that what they're referring to? Is that type of...
I don't know. I'll send you the email regarding this other issue. But once again, the Clallam County boys are driving the bus on the PDD, wanting us to sign on to stuff that has nothing to do with us. Yeah. The PDD is an interesting organization that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, some different forces. That
yeah, yeah.
Now, I don't know if Susan Bauer contacted you. She's drafted a letter on the Marine Tourism Bill.
Uh-huh.
For you to sign as the president.
I'm going to sign those tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
And the WPPA note on the Marine Tourism Bill was interesting because...
where the guy doesn't like voters?
Yeah. Yeah.
Representative Carlisle chairs House Finance Committee. I testified for that committee 2 weeks ago on the Marine Tourism Bill. And
he doesn't like voters.
And afterwards, yeah. So I sent an email asking for an update on where the bill was. And they said, well, there's some good things and some bad things. The bad thing is the committee chair doesn't like voters.
So what that can mean, if the committee chair doesn't like voters and he doesn't like the Marine Tourism Bill, the committee chair can simply run the meeting yeah. long and not get to the item on the agenda and the bill dies.
Yeah,
that's what's happened to a yeah. lot of the gun legislation so far,
yeah.
is the bills have just died because the committee chairman or the majority whip or whatever is holding the meeting, and then he just lets the agenda run over and they don't get to something, and that's it. That's the last meeting they have on that, and the bill dies. It's a common practice.
You know, they'll put the other agenda item, the other bills up first.
Mm-hmm.
Talk those.
And they run out of time. And so this guy doesn't like boats. That is a game that he could play despite everyone's efforts in regards to supporting the bill. You could have one guy like myself in charge of the commission that could ramble on and just let things go until the agenda ran out, and that would be it.
Now, there's a companion bill, they call it, in the Senate working its way through. So if that gets through and out of the committee on the Senate side, then it's still alive. You know, then it, when it comes to the House, it'll go to the full House. So,
public comments. Commissioner comments. Dave?
We don't do staff comments?
We are.
You already had an open. Dave?
That was it?
You know I didn't Alzheimer's on me, are you?
let me think about that for a minute.
Steve, anything you sure. wish to contribute? Anything further, should I say?
Sure. I went to the Fort Worth Advisory Committee meeting, and I stayed awake because this time I actually got to talk about something, and it wasn't just a boring, and that was the beach that we have down there. Finally, everyone down there on the Fort Worth Advisory Committee knows the port has a beach down there, and like Larry said, they thought it was Tidelands, and so I met the new... park ranger, mm-hmm. very nice guy, Brian something or other, just a real engaging guy. He's going to be a breath of fresh air for the fort. And we went down and I showed him where it was. So now he realizes that it's not just Tidelands, and he understands the issue, and everyone on the Fort Advisory thing understands it. And believe it or not, they started trying to figure out solutions to our dilemma. They were thinking about, well, why don't we take that little part up there by the where the Monroe Street comes down, there's the white fence, we can make a little parking lot there and people could go to the beach. And so in other words, it's kind of changed, even though that might not be a viable solution, to where they're thinking along the same lines that we've been trying to lead them to, and that's that beach is really there for the public to use without having to pay for it. So that was a good thing. And then I just came back from a climate action meeting, and something I hadn't really thought about, but perhaps I might just inject it, and that is that there's a fellow that's a really world-class political analyst, policy analyst, and he does climate work, and he is volunteered his time to work on the Climate Action Committee to do an adaptive strategy for climate actions that are happening here. And he says, it used to make everyone's eyes roll back in their head when you talk about that, but after things like the droughts in Texas and Sandy, or Hurricane Sandy, people are starting to pay a little bit more attention to it. And so he's going to be volunteering his time doing that. He wants to know if he has active partners in the city and the port, and actually the port, you know, we're, as I was talking to Larry before the meeting, we're already doing things like making the pilings higher, where we're putting them in, and we're building a new thing on a couple of feet of hill. So he's going to be working on helping figure out adaptive strategies for dealing with what's we can't change because it's already gone far enough that things are happening now. So those are the two things that I did this week. Did you think of one, Dave?
No, comment? I haven't.
Comments?
I haven't got a comment.
Other than that letter from the Board of Collin County Commissioners, they want me to sign at the PD meeting tomorrow. Yeah, it's a statewide deal, and I can email those to you as soon as I get through talking here. So the next meeting and workshop is going to be Wednesday, March 13. Workshop 9:30, meeting 1 here. And we're going to adjourn this meeting and into an executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.110G, the Executive Director's Annual Review.
Do you want the Executive Director to be in attendance?
No.
How long
do you think, you guys?
Well, half an hour's been working.
Okay, half an hour.
With no action expected.
No action expected.
One quick question on the workshop. I emailed you two. I put it in the box, the email we got from Eric Taylor today.
At the airport?
On the airport. Remember, we gave you a spreadsheet on, mm-hmm. We went out, you know, Terry went out and measured all the buildings, worked out a spreadsheet on that. My suggestion is that perhaps we make that a workshop topic again, but somehow we got to come to closure on this thing. So if that's okay, if not, we made a regular agenda item too. But
have you guys read up on what's going on out there? Are you familiar with this issue?
Kind of, yeah.
What do you think, a workshop or a regular agenda?
Well, you know, I'm just not sure if we need any legal opinions about whether we're in any violation of anything, because we don't have some kind of uniform pricing out there at the airport. I mean, I don't know the answer to that.
We don't have to have pricing.
Well, then why are we even talking about it? He's got his contract he signed, and
I mean, we can't have uniform pricing because we've made all the contracts at different times.
Right. So, I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, there isn't anything to talk about, but closure should be, we should get closure with this.
Right, either.
We need to give staff direction in which way to go.
Yeah, he's bugging us.
That's what we need to do.
I sent the email.
I don't think it would take very long for us to decide what to tell staff what to do in regards to that. So it would be a nice informal workshop. If we were to put it on the regular agenda, we might have some controversial comments. There would be controversy, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, that'd be all right. I mean,
yeah, it doesn't matter to me either way.
It'd be easier for us to tell the guy, you know, that we're going to continue raising the rates at CPI as we do. As per contract.
So regular meeting then?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
If he wants to argue about it, fine.
Then on the agenda for the next meeting.
Will do. Gentlemen, if you please.
This meeting is adjourned.
Can you leave until the lights are turned out?
Recess.
Okay. And I have to write since I'm